Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton as we continue in the Bible study on the book of Daniel. The Encouraging Word. As we open the Word together, know that we're here for you, connecting online at tewonline.org and this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I want all the young people to look at me. Look at me. I want to say something to you as your pastor. Have a great time in life. Man, I just love you so much. Go and enjoy. Go to college. Have a blast, you know? Just have a happy time. Enjoy one another's company. Go out and have fun together. But young people, don't mess around with God. Thank you. Here it is. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. If there is anybody here tonight and you are contemplating sin, don't do it, my brother. I got a letter recently, one of the sweetest, most incredible letters I've ever read. And it said to me, Pastor, you'll never know who I am, but whatever you do, warn our people not to mess around with sexual sin and adultery. Don't play the fool with God. You guys and dolls are going off to college. Some of you are seniors, and we're so proud of you. When you leave, you no longer have Dr. Wilton to stand up there and preach on Sunday morning. You don't have Seth around, and you don't have the youth group. You get onto that college campus, some of the best years of your life. But precious friends, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I'm concerned about our nation, folks, his story. But there was another thing that God promised to Abraham: reward, deliverance, and fulfillment. We've read about it. Reward, deliverance, and fulfillment. So how did all this unfold up until Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1? Well, Abraham comes along and he has two sons. One his name is Ishmael, not of God. The other one is Isaac. You'll remember that Jacob, through three of his wives, Jacob and Esau were the two sons of Isaac. Remember the whole story about the selling of the birthright? And Jacob, through three of his wives, Rebekah, Leah, and Rachel, had 12 sons. Now, by the way, if you're ever interested in knowing some of these things, you find that in Genesis chapter 35. The Bible tells us all about the 12 sons of Jacob. They are listed there, the sons of Leah: Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob; Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. These became the 12 tribes of Israel. Of course, Joseph was the favorite son. We know all about Joseph. I love talking about Joseph. Joseph and his multicolored coat. He was sold into slavery. You'll remember in Genesis chapter 37, you can just start paging with me now, in Genesis chapter 37, how that Joseph had a dream. Look at Genesis chapter 37 and verse 5. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Isn't that ironic? Folks, may I just say this to you? Many times God will impress on you to do something, and other people will dislike intensely what you do, even though what you're doing comes from God. I need to just run that by again, because some of you weren't listening. Sometimes God will impress on you, many times God will impress on you and me to do something, and we'll do it. There will be many people who will dislike you intensely and even hate you, even though what you're doing is what God told you to do. You see, when God tells us to do something, He doesn't accompany that with a guarantee of joy and peace and protection for our person. God sometimes says, no, you do what I want you to do, you're going to have to suffer. That's why Paul put it like this. He said, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Why don't you stand up? Who's willing to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Who's willing to be unpopular for Him? Who's willing to go out on a campus and say, listen, I don't care what everybody else is going to do. I will not defile myself with the food that comes from the King's table. I don't care whether they tell me I'm not going to be included because I didn't join that fraternity. But I am not going to associate with that drunkenness and that debauchery and that kind of language and that kind of lifestyle. I will not do these things. Now, I will guarantee you, you will be unpopular in certain circles. You will become lonely. You'll get left out on a limb. You will be rejected. You won't have as many dates. You won't be included in anything, but I'll guarantee you, God will bless you for what you do. God will bless you. Well, what about Joseph? Joseph had these dreams. And in chapter 37 and verse 5, he said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us, old boy? You trying to tell us, little brother, that you one day are going to have authority over us? Mm-hmm. Can you hear the sarcasm? Will you actually rule us? Hey, gentlemen, listen to this. Old brother Joe here is getting carried away. He thinks that he's worshiping God. He's out of touch. He's not willing to float down the stream with the rest of us. He didn't want to go and rattle bones with the rest of us. He didn't want to step out line. He doesn't want to get on the popularity train with the rest of us. And they hated him all the more because of his dream and because of what he had said. And then he had another dream. I don't have time to get into all these dreams. I mean, it's like God began to pile these things on one after the other. Well, we know what happens. He was sold into Egypt. Do you remember Egypt? Why Egypt? There's something significant about Egypt. We can read about it in Genesis chapter 38 and chapter 39. After 2 years. And by the way, you say to me, Pastor, how do you know it was after 2 years? How do you know that Joseph spent 2 years in prison before he interpreted Pharaoh's dream? Well, look at chapter 39. I beg your pardon, chapter 41. Look at chapter 41, verse 1. Anyone have a problem reading verse 1? It says, when 2 full years had passed. How do we know that Joseph was in prison for 2 years? Because the Bible says he was in prison for 2 years. This was after 2 years that these dreams became interpreted. And as a result of that, in chapter 41 and verse 41, God began to do what God said He would do. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. This is Joe, who got in the hair of his big brothers, who rattled their bones a little, was sold into slavery, who refused to cavort with Potiphar's wife, refused to be pulled into some kind of sexual liaison with another man's wife. He stood upon the moral principles and virtues of his rich Judeo heritage, the principles grounded and founded upon his covenant relationship with God Almighty. And so it is that God took this weeny little boy out of the land of Canaan and took him and placed him on the capital city steps of the greatest empire in the world, and Pharaoh put him in charge of everything. Now, if I can give us a sneak preview, we're going to find something happening all over again in the book of Daniel. Why? Because in Daniel chapter 1, the Word of God says that Daniel was offered everything under the sun, but Daniel refused to defile himself with the food that came from the king's table. So what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He said, throw him in a fire. Burn him alive. So God said, why don't you? And so he took him and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and threw them into a fiery furnace. And what happened? Now you know the rest of the story. How does this come about? Well, in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 41, Joseph's brothers bow down to him. What an incredible story. It is absolutely unbelievable. What happens with Joseph's brothers? They come and they bow down to him. You see, beloved friends, it seems to me that what held Joseph together through this tumultuous period of time in his life was that he believed that God would do what God said he would do. In Genesis chapter 45 and verses 1 through 15, I love to read that story. I wish I had time tonight. It's my favorite story. I love the story about, look at it in verse 1 of chapter 45. If I could just mention one verse. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's house heard all about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him. I don't blame them. Do you? They were scared stiff. He said his brothers were not able to answer because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me. Listen to this, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Woo! Isn't that amazing?
It is an incredible story as we study Joseph and all these stories in Daniel. But Dr. Wilton would want to remind you, God's ready to be incredible in your life and your story as well. We'd love to pray for that with you. We're connecting keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. A great place to discover resources that will help you grow. Perhaps the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide or the email from Dr. Wilton is something that would help jumpstart your day like it does mine. You can sign up on the website, tewonline.org. Or you can also text the word DAILY to 30500. We'll send you a quick link and you'll be signed up to receive that email every single day with God's word and encouragement from Dr. Don just by signing up. It'll start tomorrow. 866-899-WORD is also a place you can sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word or just talk to someone that you need to pray with. 866-899-9673. It would be our joy to connect with you and connect you to God's encouraging word. Now back to the conclusion of his story, the message as we launch the book of Daniel together on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton.
Is it possible that God would ever put anybody through what they have to go through in order to accomplish his purpose? God works all things together for the good of those that love him and to those who are the called according to his purpose. You might be struggling with a grandchild and circumstances tonight, but God has got a purpose. You might be struggling with physical problems, but God has got a purpose. You might be hurting with pain and grief tonight, but God has got a purpose. You might be suffering setbacks tonight, but God has got a purpose. God's got a plan. God has got a provision. God is in control all the time. And so it is. That because of Joseph and this marvelous deliverance, which by the way lasted for about 30 years, the children of Israel were taken into bondage in Egypt for 400 years. And so here comes Moses. What about Moses? Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 7. Here's what the word says. First of all, how do we know that Moses spent 40 years growing up in Pharaoh's court? Look at chapter 7 of the book of Acts and verse 23. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. And it was at this time that he saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing him. Now look at verse 25. You see, this began the next 40 years of Moses having to wander around the wilderness. Now, why did Moses have to wander around the wilderness for 40 years by himself looking for wives? It's quite simple. Verse 25. Here's what the Bible says. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. Can I just summarize that for you? Moses thought that if he planted a feather, a chicken would grow. That's what he thought. In other words, Moses was trying to outthink God. Moses thought that what he could do is do whatever God wanted to do his way. God said, "Hold on a minute, Moses. I'm going to put you through the burning bush and every other kind of experience in the wilderness, and I'm going to give you wives and a family. I'm going to put you through my refinery system. I'm going to burn all the impurity out of you, because the purest gold comes out of the hottest fire. Because if there's one thing that you need to understand, Moses, more than anything else, is that you never do God's will your way. You do God's will God's way." Well, Moses, after 40 years, said, "Listen, if I go and kill that Egyptian, guess what? People are going to rise up. They're going to pat me on the back. I'm going to take control of the situation." God didn't tell him to do that. So God sent him off to the wilderness for 40 years. Young people, can I have your attention for a minute? Never mess around with God. There are grown people in Spartanburg who love the Lord, who are some of the finest people you'll ever meet. But God has allowed them to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years because 40 years ago, they decided to do things their way. You've got it in the palm of your hand. Most of you haven't even messed up yet. Don't mess up. Don't put scars in your life, man. Don't think it's a neat thing to arrive at the age of 35 and 40 with scars of sin all over your face. It's not. The choices that you make at the age of 16 and 15 and 14 are going to go with you for the rest of your life. You're going to carry those battle scars. You're going to carry them into your marriage. Stand by your vows. Stand by your commitments. Be young people of the Word of God. Be willing to stand tall. Ride the waves. That's the lesson that we learn. 40 years in Pharaoh's court, 40 years in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 2, God calls Moses. And Moses, because of the word of God, the first Passover takes place. And God delivers the children of Israel. And the result is another 40 years of wandering in the wilderness of the children of Israel. Why? Because the children of Israel rose up and disobeyed God. They rose up and they disobeyed God. And so we come to the book of Deuteronomy, because they arrived at the promised land. God reminds them of His law and of the consequences of not obeying God. Bow your heads with me tonight, please. Let's ask the Lord Jesus to help us not to make mistakes that are going to leave battle scars for years to come. And folks, if you have battle scars, the one thing I'm sorry about not getting ahead right now is because I want you to know that God delivered them into the promised land. It's not over. There's hope. There's a tomorrow. The decisions you make today will impact you tomorrow. I want you to trust Him. Just give it over to the Lord. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. I'm going to come and stand here at the front. We're going to sing hymn 317. Only trust Him. Maybe just a verse or two. Now I'm going to come and stand here tonight to receive you. Some need to come and join this church. Some have said, Pastor, I'll come when there's a slightly less crowd. Well, there's a slightly less crowd. Wonderful group of people compared to this morning. Please come. Some who need to just say, Pastor, I need to turn that over right now. I've got to make that decision right now. Only trust Him. That's what God will do for you. Let's pray for our church and pray for our country. Pray for our young people, marriages, families, grandparents. Let's say, Lord, listen. You made a covenant with Abraham. That's my covenant because I believe in you. Yes, there is sin. There's judgment, but there's comfort and reward. Lord, I don't want to wander through the wilderness for 40 years. I don't want to cross the Red Sea and see the hand of God stretched out in His mighty power and then get on the other side and complain because there's not enough bread falling from the heavens. I don't want to win the battle against the Philistines and the Amorites. I don't want to see Moses' hands held up high. I don't want to see the enemy vanquished and beaten from north to south and east to west and then grumble because my bed's not comfortable enough. I don't want to go backwards in my faith. I want to go forward. I want to be a man of faith. I believe that God is raising up in America young people who are willing to stand in the pulpits of America and preach the Word of God without apology. I believe that on our campuses that there are being raised up mighty young men and women of valor. I believe that within the center fabric of our high schools that there are young people, many of whom sit before us tonight, that are willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And I'm grateful to God that there are churches today that are willing to stand upon His Word and are willing to move forward and not backwards, are willing to be on the cutting edge, are willing to give until it hurts, are willing to serve until the sacrifice becomes almost overwhelming. I'm grateful to God that there are people today that are willing to give up their lives to follow Jesus Christ. How about you, son, daughter? How about you? Only trust Him. Turn your life over to Him. I love this place. What an honor to be in God's house. This is the tabernacle of the Lord. This is where Jacob surrendered his life to the Lord. This is where Moses builded an altar under the Lord. This is where Joshua fought battles for the Lord. It took place within the context of the Word of God. And the children of Israel took the Ark of the Covenant and they walked around and God was with them and He followed them and He blessed them and He punished them and He raised them up and then He rewarded them. God hasn't changed. But Daniel refused to defile himself from the food of the king's table. May God write His Word upon our hearts.
It is an incredible story as we study Joseph and all these stories in Daniel. But Dr. Wilton would want to remind you, God's ready to be incredible in your life and your story as well. We'd love to pray for that with you. We're connecting keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. A great place to discover resources that will help you grow. Perhaps the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide or the email from Dr. Wilton is something that would help jumpstart your day like it does mine. You can sign up on the website, tewonline.org, or you can also text the word DAILY to 30500. We'll send you a quick link and you'll be signed up to receive that email every single day with God's Word and encouragement from Dr. Don just by signing up. It'll start tomorrow, 866 1-800-799-WORD is also a place you can sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word or just talk to someone that you need to pray with. 866-899-9673. It would be our joy to connect with you and connect you to God's encouraging word. Now back to the conclusion of his story, the message as we launch the book of Daniel together on the Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
No doubt about it, God has not changed. But in Daniel's refusal, perhaps maybe even in your and my refusal, we are missing the opportunity to be the men and women of God that the Lord has and created us to be. It all starts with step number one. Here's Dr. Don Wilson.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an Encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
That number once more is 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll always connect you with one of us happy to talk or listen or pray or connect with great resources of Dr. Don Wilton here at The Encouraging Word or meet us online at tewonline.org.
As an encourager of the Encouraging Word Ministry, I've listened to many of your services on CDs, DVDs, and Sunday evening television. Your blessings have been fulfilling in my life. Your ministry and blessings is a great part of my life. You and your staff are in my daily prayers. I'm sending extra gifts this month to help reach people throughout the Encouraging Word Ministry. What we need is more people like you and your lovely wife willing to leave their homeland and go wherever God has led them. We love you, Pastor.